Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Tomorrow on Thursday Night Football, Mac Jones leads the Patriots to Atlanta to battle Matt Ryan and the Falcons. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video. Well, despite being road underdogs last night, Steph Curry and the Warriors had no issues dismissing Kevin Durant and the Nets. Curry had a game-high 37 points on 9 of 14 shooting from deep in the 18-point win, and Durant finished with 19 points while Harden had a Nets team-high of 24. We're now joined by First Things First co-host Chris Broussard. Chris, great to have you. What is your biggest takeaway from last night?
That Golden State is right now the best team in basketball, and Steph Curry is the MVP right now. Now, I'm not ready yet to predict that they're winning the championship. I may be ready soon, but I'm not convinced yet that they can win 4 7-game series unless Klay Thompson is like 85% of his old self, at least. I also think they could use some size, some more protection at the rim, even though their defense is great. I like to see some more size, and James Wiseman, 7-footer, only in his second year. But he, I think, I want to see him come back and give them a little more size than they usually than they have right now. I think they got one player that's 6'10" or above. So Wiseman will help in that, I believe. But last night, they were terrific, obviously. We know how good their offense is. But defensively, they're the number one ranked team in the league. And they did a number on the Nets. Draymond Green was great against Kevin Durant. First time this year, Durant scores 22 or fewer than 22 points. First time this year, he's held to under 40% shooting. So they did a great job. So I'm totally impressed with Golden State. But on the other hand, I couldn't have been more disappointed in the Nets. And I'm beginning to get off these Nets. All right, because they had every reason to come out last night and play great. First of all, Kevin Durant's facing his former team, and a lot of people have mocked him as being Looney Tunes for leaving Steph Curry and the Warriors for Kyrie Irving and the Nets. And he comes out and has a stinker. All right, secondly, they got two superstars, James Harden and Durant, two top 10 players, supposedly. Golden State only has one. And then the Nets needed to prove that they could beat a good team. Because, yeah, they're 10-5. That looks nice. But when you analyze it, they haven't really beaten anybody. They're 2-4 now against teams that are 500 or above. And James Harden, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, Skip, right now. Because he's saying that the way he's playing, which is, yeah, all-star level, but they need him to be a superstar. And he's saying it's because he didn't have the summer to play his game. He was rehabbing. He's still coming back from the hamstring. As somebody that picked him to win it all in the preseason, I want to believe that. But that excuse is getting a little bit old. All right, he's got to be more aggressive, and he needs to score like 26 points a night, 25 points a night with his 9 or 10 assists for them. Look, the way he's playing now would be great with Kyrie. So if you had Durant giving you 29, Kyrie giving you 26, we can handle Harden with 20 points a game. But Kyrie's gone, and I don't think he's coming back. And so Harden's got to be more aggressive and score more points. If he doesn't, they're not winning at all. They might not even win the East if Harden don't pick it up.
Chris, I agree with a lot of what you said because Skip and I, we talked about this earlier, and I told Skip, I thought the Warriors were the best team in the NBA. They confirmed what I thought, having seen them. I watched them a little bit, obviously watched them against the Lakers, and I've been following them around. And like, okay, let me see, They only lost one game. They 6-1. They 7-1. I said, let me see. And I got an opportunity to watch. And I was like, okay, they're legit. Because we know the ball movement offensively, they're always going to be a top five offensively rated team. But when they were winning championships, they were very, very high. They were a top five defensive rated team. They're getting back to that. But my number one takeaway, and we've done, this is us, Chris. We've done this. We've minimized Steph Curry. We've always given, KD, Giannis, and LeBron. And Steph Curry has gone unnoticed. Well, he's put us back on notice. He started it last year because he broke his wrist right after KD left. And then he was out of shot. No, everybody was like, he ain't going to be this. He ain't going to be that. KD made him. Do y'all realize this man was a two-time league MVP before Kevin Durant came across the bridge? Do you realize he won one of those awards unanimously? No other players have done that in NBA history. You do realize he had gone to two NBA finals and won one. Probably should have won the MVP. Averaging 26-6-5, yes. Doesn't win your finals MVP. The guy that held a guy to 36-13-9 was the finals MVP. We'll discuss that another day in time. But when you look at the titles that they won when they got KD, Chris, he was 27-8-9 and 27-7-6. So it wasn't like he was playing bad, and he was 36-5 the year they lost to Toronto without KD. I just think the thing is, he wanted to show that y'all keep on thinking that I was a Kevin Durant creation. I was not. I am not. I'm legit. I'm Stephen Curry, the greatest shooter to ever play, and I'm a top. He wins an MVP. He wins a title. He's a top 10 player. That's fact. Mm. We ain't gonna debate this no more. He wins a title, wins the finals, gets that MVP. It's over. Mm. How you keep him out of the top 10, Chris Broussard? With his resume, you can't.
I ain't mad at you.
You can't.
I ain't mad at you.
You can't. It's on you.
He better win MVP.
He's
right now got zero MVP.
You need to give him respect, though. You want to give that.
He better earn the respect in the postseason, which he has never done in my point of view. All right, back to what I saw last night. I saw a little different game than you guys did. I don't know. I got to get a new TV, but I saw Brooklyn come out in the first quarter and look like Brooklyn Nets. I saw KD score 12 quick early points, made both his first 2 3-point shots, and I thought he's going to go for 40 against Steph. And then I saw a nip-tuck game all through the second quarter, back and forth, teeter-totter, teeter-totter. 33.2 seconds left. I saw Brooklyn take a 1-point lead, so it's not like they got blown off the floor from jump. And then all of a sudden, Steph didn't happen. Andrew Wiggins happened. Oh, he's still on the team. I forgot about Andrew Wiggins, who oftentimes just goes along for the ride. He's averaging 18-4. It's not what he used to average as the first overall pick in the draft. But all of a sudden, he hits a three. And then he hits another three at the buzzer. And all of a sudden, they go to the halftime locker room up 5. Mm-hmm. And Steve Kerr, who is the anti-Mike McCarthy, because he must give them speeches at halftime, and has them jumping off the out of their chairs ready to play. Or maybe they got some energy drinks that we got to find. You and I got to get a hold of some of these energy drinks.
Yeah, they keep coming out like the third quarter.
They come out. They are a plus 124 in the third quarter through 14 games this year. That's preposterously great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next on the list, Charlotte, is a plus 50 in third quarter so far this year. So, wait, Golden State's a plus 124? They are blowing the league off the map in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. What happens to my man, Kevin Durant? Well, all of a sudden, Andrew Wiggins comes out hot again, and he makes his first 2 shots. So now he's scored 6. That's 10 straight points from Andrew Wiggins. Not Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins. And all of a sudden, they're down 9. And guess what? Kevin admitted after the game, I started pressing. I started forcing.
Yeah.
I started taking shots I shouldn't have taken. If we could just quickly see what happened to Kevin Durant, I've never seen him this out of sync. In the third quarter, he goes 0 for 8, the worst shooting quarter of his career. Because, Golden State comes at you in waves of long, strong, skilled, high-energy athletes off the bench playing defense, all of them defensive mind. Look at Kevin. This is Kevin. Boy, that one I thought was going to be good, and it was short. He just didn't shoot with conviction or authority or much confidence. I've never seen anything like this. And once he started to miss, you know what happens? Well, I thought he had that one cold, and it's way short and a little right. And this is still in the third quarter. This is Kevin Durant. That's almost an air ball off the glass because he couldn't even get a hold of the basketball. And then a mid-range, is that not money for him?
Yeah.
And it's so short, it barely ticks off the front iron.
Right.
Okay? He came unglued because his team is falling farther. All of a sudden, you're down 20, and he's saying, I gotta. And I've never seen him so uncharacteristically out of control in a quarter.
But, Chris, Skip talked about how Kevin Durant came out in the first quarter. Steph Curry matched him shot for shot.
Yep.
And then he did it, matched him again in the second quarter, shot for shot. And then the third quarter, Steph Curry pulled away. That's where he started to press.
Well,
Steph Curry
ironically,
effect.
He goes to the bench with 7 minutes left in the third quarter in quote-unquote foul trouble and sits the rest of the quarter, and they go on an 18-5 run, and at the end of the quarter, the game is completely over because they've won at 35-18.
Well, me and Chris want to hear you say it right now.
What?
MVP frontrunner Stephen Curry. Stephen Wardell Curry.
Okay, after one game last night, I will give you that because Kevin is still leading the league in scoring.
Yeah.
Right?
But he's second, and he got the best record in the NBA.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you a slight edge right here, right now, but it ain't even Thanksgiving yet, and you guys are leaping to conclusions. Because you're sick and tired of me saying Kevin Durant is the best player on the planet, because he is.
Are we sure? Because Steph Curry said not tonight.
Here's the thing.
If he was, he wasn't last night. Mm.
Okay, right here, right now. Time out. I'm sorry, Chris. Before you go, I need to get this man on record. Right here, right now, would you take Steph over Kevin Durant?
Skip Baylor. You see what he tried to do?
No.
Chris, he tried to change the argument.
Thank you. Case closed. It's over to you, Chris.
Go ahead, Chris. Wait.
Skip, look, I might be wrong, and maybe it's happened. But I don't remember, and I want to know, do you guys ever, them chanting, the fans chanting MVP, MVP for an opposing player in a superstar's arena?
No, no.
Like, I can't imagine. Again, maybe I'm wrong. I can't imagine that happening in LeBron's house, Giannis's house, Jokic's house, Steph's house.
Jordan, any of the names.
That's not. Especially to a former teammate of your guy. Like,
okay,
that was
Chris.
Disrespectful of
Chris,
KD.
Help us
and
out here.
And I don't
here.
Think the fans don't like him, but it was disrespectful.
Okay, Chris, you have covered the Nets in your career. You know Barclays. We don't. We don't really know what the vibe is or the feel. How did the Golden State fans take over Barclays last night? How did they get the tickets?
Skip, you know I'm here in greater New York. The Nets have, they are not the story. The Knicks are still the story. And it's baffling. It seems crazy. I know to the nation, Brooklyn's a much bigger story, obviously. Here in New York, they are second fiddle at best to the Knicks. I mean, really. Like, people are more on the talk radio, on obviously in the fans in the area. The Knicks are still by far the show. And Brooklyn, you get a lot of fans that go there to see the opposing players or to see KD and Harden and these guys, but not really fans. They just want to see them play great basketball, but they're not really Nets fans. And that's how they took it over. And they're almost a team. I won't say they're a team without a home court advantage, but you saw that last night. You won't see that anywhere else in the league.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where an opposing team like that, especially when you got a contender.
All right.
Right.
Now, back to James Harden that you brought up, Chris. He just doesn't look right to me. And I'm not just poking fun here. I really think as he gets later in his career, if he doesn't have one already, he needs a nutritionist and a cook because he just doesn't look in shape to me. He's played enough basketball so far. He should be playing his way back into shape. Right. He doesn't have his burst. He doesn't have his quickness. I don't know if his hamstrings still bother him. It's hard for me to believe that. But he's starting to show some signs of age as the referees obviously are not paying him the respect. They're not just giving him cheap calls the way they used to. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I totally agree. Look, I was saying before this season, he's darn near just as good as Kevin Durant. So I am incredibly disappointed. I'm with you, Skip. It's hard to believe that this hamstring injury still bothered him and he's still rusty. I don't think he's as aggressive.
Yeah.
And I think his muscle memory has been, you know, getting all these cheap fouls, like creating contact and flailing and all that. He's got to get out of that muscle memory and start going to the hole to finish rather than just to draw a foul. I'm going to give him a little more time because, again, I picked him to win it like you did. But if this is all we're getting from James Harden, it's not enough.
Well, I don't need no more time.
It's not enough to win it all with these.
I don't need no more time. I know who the best player in the NBA right now. I don't know what's going to happen by the end of the season, Chris Bizarre, but the best player last night, in the words of Michelle and Dege Ocello, that's my favorite. Anybody that knows me know Michelle and Dege is my favorite. She had a song, if that was your boyfriend, it wasn't last night. If Kevin Durant is the best player, he wasn't last night.
No mercy.
The LeBron-less Lakers are 7.5-point underdogs tonight against the Bucks, but help may be on the way for the purple and gold. According to reports, LeBron has been making progress from his abdominal strain and is even targeting a return this Friday against the Celtics. Chris Broussard still with us. Chris, can LeBron turn the Lakers back into a championship team?
Yes. Can he? For sure. A championship contender. I'm not predicting they'll win it with LeBron, but definitely they'll be one of those few teams in the hunt. The concern, of course, with LeBron is will he stay healthy? I do think this age issue is real. And, you know, he could get hurt again. So we'll see. But if he's healthy, LeBron, AD, Westbrook, yeah, they're definitely a championship contender. One thing I see that I like, even though they've lost some games, they obviously got blown out by the Bulls. I like that Westbrook, even with LeBron, is not playing exclusively point guard. You see THT and other players bringing the ball up and initiating the offense. And sometimes it's Westbrook, but not all the time. And that means when LeBron comes back, he'll be on the ball a lot. And Westbrook will be off the ball. I think Westbrook is getting more acclimated to being off the ball, moving a little better off the ball, cutting to the rim a little bit better. He has had the ball down the stretch, which I'm not that fond of at all. I'm sure you guys aren't either. But again, I think he'll respect that when it comes down to the stretch, LeBron needs to have that ball. So I'm encouraged a little bit by Westbrook being off the ball, even without LeBron. So when LeBron comes back, I think it's a good fit. So, yeah, they'll still work out some kinks. They've shot it well. I think better than people expected from three. They're shooting like they're 12th in the league in three-point percentage. That's pretty good for what we expected from them. So, yeah, they'll get it back. They got to work on things defensively. But with LeBron, they're definitely in the hunt.
Well, you say you like Westbrook off the ball a little bit more. I would like him off the court a little bit more. So that's where I'm trying to go with this here.
Here.
The thing is, for me, do I believe he'll make them better? Yes. But he has his work cut out. Because offense is not the problem, Chris. It's defense and turning the ball over. And Russ is still turning the ball over. Russ is going to give you on a nightly basis somewhere between 4 and 7 assists. And you know, in crunch time, in close situations, you can't turn the ball over. You cannot turn the ball over and not play defense. You can't. Because at least you can hang your hat because you're going to have, they're going to be games that you have slumps scoring the basketball. But if you have a slump scoring the basketball, you just can't give the guys a 405 and during the pandemic and just let them get free drives to the basket. You can't let guys shoot wide open threes and not get a hand, not contest them, not run them off the 3-point line, not get a hand in their face. That's their problem. And Russ, what do we do with him, Chris? That is still the fly in the ointment. That is it. All this other stuff, triple-double. Yeah, he's having 11 assists, but he's having 8 turnovers. That's not good. Yeah, he had a triple-double, but he had 10 turnovers. That's not good. What we've done, Chris, is that we've turned a blind eye. In the process of those triple-doubles, he damn near led the league in turnovers every single year that he led to have that triple-double. That's not good because in close ball games, that's when it manifests itself. You can get away with a turnover in the first or the second quarter. But when you turn the ball over 3 times in the fourth quarter and you're in a nip-tuck ball game, no. So this is going to be LeBron's most daunting task. I'm anxious to see him get back and play with Malik Monk. We've seen him play one game with Monk, but play with THT again. Play with Wayne Ellington. Guys that can space the floor, that he can create shots for. AD, I like the way AD, but I want AD to be more aggressive. Russell Westbrook should never have more shot attempts than Anthony Davis. I don't care if he's shooting 60% that night. He shouldn't have more shot attempts than Anthony Davis, period.
Okay, Chris Broussard, you shocked me with your take because you indicate that Russell Westbrook is actually heading north. Westbrook is heading north, and both Shannon and I think he's already headed completely south on the 405 to the point that we would like to see him out of town. So we ask you, I ask you, as I said before the year, he's solo act, stat machine, high turnovers, blast to watch, sometimes for all the wrong reasons. And we have concluded, Shannon has concluded as the number one LeBron Laker fan, that if possible, before the trade deadline, he would like to see Westbrook out of here, see him gone, because it would clarify everything. And I still like the roster. I would like it more if you just said Westbrook was gone. I don't even care what you get in return for him. If you get nothing in return, I would still like LeBron's chances with the rest of the roster than LeBron's trying to overcome win in spite of Westbrook. What are the odds to you, Chris Broussard, of this team actually getting rid of Westbrook?
Zero.
Well, first of all, look, I think you got to give them more of a chance with LeBron. All right, we know they haven't played many games together. Westbrook has shown this in his new places that he's been traded to. He's gotten better later in the season, right? We saw it in Houston. Started off poorly, got better as the season went on. We saw it in Washington last year. I know they're playing great without him. I'm just saying, though, last year, he came on in the second half of the season and played better. So I would give it a little more time. Look, LeBron knew what he was signing up for. LeBron wanted Russ. And we all doubted it. Everybody, a lot of people questioned it. LeBron knew this is how Russ plays. LeBron's a student of the game. He watches tape on other players. He knew what he was getting. So I just think you mentioned the turnover, Shannon. Obviously, it's a problem. But you got to get the ball out of his hands more. And I think when LeBron is back, that will be the case. LeBron's got to take the ball. It's LeBron's team. He won. I'm serious. And that's what they got to do. Now, if it doesn't work out, if LeBron can stay healthy and play what the next couple of months and it's just not working out, then you can try to move him. But let's be honest, who's taking him and that contract? And people were shocked that the Wizards could trade him.
Okay.
And so a contender's not going to want to fit him in, and a bad team, you're not giving him the ball to him. So it takes away from your young developing player. So they might be stuck with it.
So, Chris, I agree. You've got to get the ball out of Westbrook's hands. How? He lives for the ball in his hands. It's who he is, who he's always been. No, nobody's ever held him accountable for all those turnovers. He's running away again with the league lead in turnovers. What do you do with him if he doesn't have the ball in his hands? He is simply the worst superstar jump shooter I have ever seen. High turnovers, lousy shooter, 29% from three, so liability from three, and he still takes 4.3 a game, which is way too many. Okay, so if LeBron says, give me the ball and get out of the way, he's a low-end defender. He can steal the ball occasionally, but he doesn't really on-ball defend.
No.
Okay, so help me out. What's his value to even be on the floor? You go stand over there and stay out of the way?
His energy and getting moving without the ball. Look, so we've seen players have to adjust later in their career, individual stars who go to a team and they have to adjust. And this is, look, LeBron's got to, whether it's talk to him, I don't know that LeBron will sit down and talk to him about it, but he's just got to take the leadership of the team. It's as simple as that, because it's not going to work. You guys are right. I mean, if Westbrook's got the ball in his hands as the point guard and LeBron's playing off the ball, that's not going to work. I say it all along. LeBron should be the point. Russ should be off the ball. And you got to admit, I mean, Russ isn't handling it as much as he has in the past.
And let that sink in,
I mean,
Chris.
THT is handling
Chris,
the ball a good amount.
Think about what you just said. He's not handling it as much as in the past, but he's still leading the league in turnovers.
By far.
So just imagine.
He's trying to make too much happen. He's trying to make too much happen. But that's where the leadership comes in. That's where the culture of your team comes in.
Okay.
LeBron and AD are bigger stars right now than Westbrook.
Yeah.
And they just going to have to, look, they brought him on. They going to have to make it work.
Damn.
You can't just hope Westbrook realizes it.
Chris, to your
that's
point.
That's leadership.
Talen Horton Tucker is a nice young player. He's like 20 and looks like he's 30 to me, and he plays like he's 30. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, especially the other night down the stretch. He's dribbling the ball off the floor, so bully for him. You know, way to go. Mm-hmm. So he's a better fit with LeBron and AD. And obviously, I like that Melo's been sensational. Yeah. He's played like Denver Melo. So you've got a lot of nice pieces, is, starting with Monk and Ellington. You can shoot it. Russ doesn't even fit. He is the fly. It's like a super fly in the ointment, right?
Yeah. No mercy.